following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again, to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres. With me in the studio, I have Hassan Godwin. I was Charlie Saladino.
So how's everybody doing?
And I have the blue head of knowledge, Tom Ross, helping us out behind the great wall of radio.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Welcome from the heights of the power of electricity.
So if anybody... before I forget... Our dear friend Herman Sinocchia, it was not able to make it today, and he made me promise we have to say nice things about him, because what he's doing right now, he's actually putting together the movie Captain America, so we can see a special screening for us only tonight. So that's what he's doing right now. So nice job,
nice.
Herman, to sacrifice himself for not coming down to the show, to coming in.
Way to go, Herman.
So yes, he's actually doing that right now. So good job, Herman. Thanks for helping us out in the future.
Yay, Herman, and thank you for giving me a copy of one of the movies that scared the you-know-what out of me as a kid. The forerunner of Alien, It, the Creature from Beyond Space.
Dun, dun, dun.
So if anybody's having any trouble to us listening to us on the air, you can go
or talking,
yeah, or just having straightforward conversation.
AM 1240 WGBB.com. Listen to us on our live audio streaming.
Smooth, scintillating.
Also on the GBB website, you can see us on the webcam, which is says "Watch us live." So if you webcam, see us in 10-second intervals, waving, sort of. Hassan was waving, but
I didn't wave. I don't wave.
He waved in between the 10 seconds, so you really couldn't tell if he wasn't waving. And the phone number here, area code 631-888-8811.
Wow. Mark has his FM voice on.
I'm very relaxed, yes. Subdued. Let's see. So if I'm going to take it with the news. So I have this bit of news from the desk of Tom Ross. Superboy is, as we've mentioned before, DC Comics has decided to revamp all 52 titles that it's making, and starting over with number one, which is supposed to appeal to a broader audience, the younger kids, by getting rid of all the old continuity and ushering in a new age of comic books on the digital and as well in comic book form. So one of which characters is going to be remade is Superboy, and... according to this article I have in front of me, he is going to be wearing a new outfit, which consists of a t-shirt with the Superman logo on it, and a nice pair of blue jeans. So there goes the costume, and now he's going to be wearing some happy fun jeans.
Short sleeves.
Yeah, he will still have a cape, though it's supposed to be a lot shorter than the one he eventually adopts.
Wow, that's... the cape a lot shorter... It'll look like a lobster bib.
It's a little gayer.
Yeah. It's sort of what Captain Marvel had when they first brought him out.
Yeah.
Though, actually, in Marvel's case, it was worse. It's only hung off of one shoulder. Talk about a wow. Opera costume. Also, according to what it said in the article there, that the revamp is going to totally obliviate and render moot the controversy that was generated when they had that whole bit about him renouncing American citizenship.
Although that was just a side story that may or may not have been in actual continuity, but the media picked up on it and everybody went crazy about him renouncing his U.S. citizenship. So,
blah,
yeah.
Blah.
So
he's an alien. Quite literally, he's an alien.
Yeah.
They should have checked his papers before
crash landing?
Yeah. That's
just all
right, that's
yeah, there's a real problem here. He can't have his shots.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And remember, according to the new government ruler, it's not illegal alien, it's undocumented alien.
Undocumented.
Well, he's Superman. He can make his own documents. He can do anything. That's his power.
He technically can't really do anything.
He really can't do that. No. Well.
He can't fly around the Earth backwards and set time back. That was only Christopher Reeves and Richard Donner. No, he can't do that.
That's only because he didn't want.
Which wouldn't work. Actually, he would have destroyed the Earth if he did that. But, you know, it was a great effect.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That scene bothered me so much when I was a kid.
Well, if you think about it, if you can do that, if you can fly that fast that you can turn an entire planet backwards on its axis.
He didn't have to do too much.
Well, not only can you do that anytime you want, anytime something goes wrong and you're just 5 or 6 minutes late to do something about it, but also if you can move that fast, then you shouldn't technically ever be late for anything. In whatever you do.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he had no problem. I could save both missiles and Lois at the same time.
How could he not catch a missile, but he could fly fast enough to turn the Earth backward? But it was a great scene.
Yes.
When I was a kid, I was like, ooh, Superman's awesome. Like,
that's genius. That's amazing.
The ultimate oops card.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you let your girlfriend get buried and die.
Either the missile or the girl... You know, I wasn't too fond of her.
Yeah, Margot Kidder wasn't.
She was starting to annoy me. I gotta save the Earth. Where's that missile?
There's something on YouTube from College Humor, I believe, collegehumor.com, where they show how the Dark Knight meets Superman. And the Dark Knight, they're in a diner, and he's talking about how he had to choose between saving his girlfriend or Harvey Dent.
Right.
And he's talking to Superman, and Superman's like, oh, that's easy. I would have just flown around the world a couple of times and got both of them out. No problem. And he's like, oh, I'm all with the angst. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's so easy. It's a problem solved.
So, I was just going to say, speaking about the Dark Knight, have you heard the trailer is out for the next movie, which they say is going to be the last in a trilogy.
Oh,
well, it'll be the last Christopher Nolan one. Obviously, it's going to make so much money.
There'll be
search for more money.
You know, it's very strange. I could not stand that second movie, The Dark Knight. I still, to this day, can't stand it. But I think the Joker was the most magnificent character in recent history, in recent movie history. Yeah. So he, and Heath Ledger deserves all accolades for bringing that character to life the way he did. So he is one of the greatest characters, especially one of the greatest villains in recent movie history. But he's in one of the worst movies, in my opinion, of the last three or four, the last 5 or 6 years.
That's how it happened.
Yeah, well, it usually doesn't happen that way. Usually everything that's in the movie that I hate is hateable, you know? There's usually not one likable thing in a movie, you know, surrounded by other hateful things. But, the problem is the problem is Heath Ledger just outshined Christian Bale. If they had another Batman, someone else playing Batman who could be a little more charismatic as Batman, which is very difficult because the character is extremely subdued, he would have been able to stand up to, you know, to the Heath Ledger character. But he chewed every piece of scenery. He stole every scene from Batman, and that's terrible. This guy's dressed in body armor and a bat suit. How is anybody stealing a scene from him? You know?
Acting.
How does that happen?
Acting.
No, I'm just saying. It just doesn't make any...
He's a thespian.
How do you not make that... It's like Michael Bay with Transformers. Like, how do you make a movie full of robots not entertaining? And he did it. He pulled that off. So how are you in a big bat suit and you're not the most the most amazing thing in the
you
in the
basically
setting?
Said it. Ledger outshined.
He did. He destroyed him.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Well, traditionally, villains have always been more interesting than heroes. I mean, for example, when you think of Treasure Island, who do you think of?
Right.
You think of Squire Trelawney or Dr. Livingston or maybe Jim Hawkins, but usually in the sense of, boy, what an irritating kid. No, you think of Long John Silver. The great heroic villain. Who, if you read the book, really is a monster.
Yeah.
But he's the one everybody remembers and everyone wants to be, except maybe with two legs instead of one. And
yeah, the whole peg leg thing doesn't... But, all right.
Actually, believe it or not, in the original book, he does not have a peg leg.
Yeah,
it's off at the hip.
They invented that for the film, and then it became iconic because
the actors really had two legs. You know, just the old deal about folding the one up underneath the very loose shorts, but... But no, in the book, his leg is off at the hip.
so smarter minds prevail. Instead of chopping off the actor's leg, they decided just to put the
leg off. Putting the peg off. Yeah.
See, De Niro would have said chop the leg off.
But yes, whereas you're right that like Vader was more interesting than Luke and all these other things.
And if you want to go back, what about the movie Hook?
Yeah.
Hook. It's Peter Pan, but they named it Hook because you got Dustin in
there. Dustin Hoffman was fantastic
in
that film.
He was fabulous in that.
So all right, well, you can go now.
Okay. So moving along, we were mentioning about Superman and new outfits.
Mystery Sick.
Superman new outfits.
Well, this was very subdued.
a while ago, we mentioned how the Wonder Woman show was having a new outfit. And she had a new costume.
And it got the show canceled before it even started.
And then a couple of weeks after that, we mentioned how the executive said that Adrian Padalecki, I think her name was? The actress. sorry if you're listening.
Yes. She turned the radio off just now.
I was listening. I clicked.
No. I was just about to endorse them.
My agent will be calling.
They actually mentioned that she did wear the hot pants in the premiere, in the pilot. And if any of you guys want to see the pictures of her in the hot pants, you can go to our site. We have photos of the actress in the hot pants in the Wonder Woman tweet. Yeah, so yay us.
Yay us. We got exclusives.
Yay, well, yes. So you can actually see.
We is it something special.
Rah, rackety rack.
it's kind of weird. It's like the top part is all decked out.
It's not good.
And the bottom is just...
It's not good. The whole thing is
short
not good.
Pants. It's like...
It just looks terrible.
Yes, it does look terrible.
The only thing like a lacrosse uniform.
It was the weirdest thing.
All armor top side on the bottom short.
Yeah, that's...
The only thing that looks worse is Superboy's new outfit. Because it just looks like nobody put any thought into it. Just give him jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Looks like Move on.
Any guy at the gym who's wearing a Superman t-shirt.
They didn't even have to go to the costume department.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to do, there's two shots of it. There's a little dramatic shot of her, and then there's just a regular close-up shot, and it doesn't look like it works at all.
I think they should put Superman in the Wonder Woman outfit for the first issue, if they're changing outfits.
Wow.
Let's make it interesting.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? That would be bold.
Where no man have ever gone before.
What a drag.
So, now moving on to the big news.
Oh, there's
moving
big
on
news?
To
the big news.
Is it a segue?
News you can't use.
Oh, all right.
There's no segue.
There's no segue, okay. I have nothing
Skip
to do with
the segue.
It's like, there's no segue already. The big news.
I actually was singing.
No segue.
In the show, we'll never do a segue again.
Nicely done.
No, thank you.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Made no money. The movie was a complete flop.
That would be news. It pulled in $43.5 million in one night, making it the best midnight show and opening
of all time.
The problem is they expected more, so they won't make any more Harry Potter films.
Nevis Schwartz be with you.
What really is the kicker about this is that Warner Brothers reports, according to the news article, that all 3D midnight shows were sold out. However, since I actually work at a movie theater, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, all 3D midnight shows were not sold out. So that's a little interesting tidbit.
Oh, yeah, what a pooper. You're gonna poop all over it.
I just wanted to say, you know, if they're gonna report that
they're
sold out and then they weren't sold out.
This is for a change.
Okay.
This is a situation where people were actually brought together for two and a half hours of family.
Right.
Actually.
Not 2.5 hours?
No. Oh. I actually talked to a friend of mine about this. And the whole fact that this movie is ostensibly, but essentially also British.
Right.
And technically a foreign movie. Okay. Was the only reason that movie worked. Because this is the United States of America. And I think if you were to go to a studio and propose a movie where guys dressed in black break into a school and slaughter students in a high school, they tell you pretty much where to put your script.
Yeah.
And so the fact that this is a gigantic grossing movie, right. It is the eighth in a series of eight movies
over
that people
years,
yeah, yeah after 10 years people have been waiting for it. So and it's a very Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling, very political, very powerful political figureheads in Hollywood. They're, you know, that franchise is unstoppable, and it's a good franchise. I have actually no criticism of it. But while I was watching this movie in a theater, and I was in an IMAX theater, so I was trying not to have a psychotic episode watching 3D in IMAX. while I was in the theater, I'm watching, you know, these kids. Watch kids that they've known for, you know, 10 years just be arbitrarily butchered, you know. Yeah. Some characters die, this is known, so that's not a spoiler. The thing that may spoil a little is that no character had like a profound death scene. They were just there, and then
they were,
you know, a couple of, they did a kind of a consolidation scene or a requiem scene. For catharsis, and just there was a whole bunch of dead characters. So no one actually is seen dying on camera. But if you think about these, there's these giant gothic sorcerers, you know, evil witches and wizards that break into a school and slaughter students.
And it's not a Rob Zombie film.
No. And I mean, I think in any other situation, if you were to make this movie, it would be a controversial, right. You know, a controversial nightmare.
Well, they did make a controversial thing about when Anakin went in and slaughtered the
Yeah,
kids.
And they didn't even show that.
Yeah.
You didn't even get to see that happen.
Think about him going in and chopping up the little kids, yeah.
And you didn't see him. He just whipped out his sword, and then it's heavily implied that he killed all those children, and then you you don't even see the bodies after it. So this one is even more gruesome. And considering that Star Wars technically is a young adult or you know adult
right.
Fantasy, Harry Potter is a child oriented fantasy. It's a kids movie. They have been getting progressively darker as they go along, and everybody knew exactly what was going to happen in this one because the book was dark. So they, whatever controversy was going to happen, they already had it with the book.
Well, they've seen in the years how it's progressed from children's to, and they've seen their audience.
Yeah,
and therefore the transition.
I'm glad they went for it. I'm glad that they had the guts to try, and I think it was done very tastefully.
And it had to be a natural progression.
Yes,
you're not. It's not.
You
like,
can't go from movie one to movie eight.
Right. It's not. It's
no,
not
it doesn't
like
work.
Right.
No.
It's not like the.
Ooh,
the BS in Transformers where this guy is being whipped all over and he doesn't die and he's on the edge of a ship and it crashes and then he walks up from the next block saying, hey, is everybody all right in there?
Everybody else?
Yeah, at least
I think I sprained my ankle.
Yeah, there's some. Yeah,
I got a little thin thing of blood coming out of the corner of the mouth. That was the traditional.
Yeah, I got eye strain from what I just saw.
There's a movie called Orgasmo, and this guy, the sushi store owner, gets the living caca beat out of him, and when he gets up, he has a little cut over his head. And this is the whole idea behind the Transformer thing. So at least the Harry Potter movie was more feasible.
They did that in Naked Gun 2.5, where Leslie Nielsen fell from the ceiling, and he was all cut up, and then they cut away, and he just brushes his face, and then he's all better, like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
So speaking of Harry Potter,
Mr. Segway.
Speaking of Harry Potter,
Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2 also broke the record for highest grossing non-holiday weekend, pulling in $168 million Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
My God, it's so full of stars.
So it is now officially the fastest grossing movie of all time, beating out Batman.
Yay!
which was what 158.4, The Dark Knight.
Taste it, Nolan.
The fastest grossing movie of all time.
And Transformers was second.
Yes, Transformers was number two.
Taste it, babe.
and, And who was number three, oddly enough?
Let's see, do I have number three? I don't think I have number three.
No follow-up.
Number three? Yeah, no follow-up question. Yeah.
Good follow-up.
Taste it, whoever's number three.
I know that the last, like, number four is Cars.
Tasted Cars.
Overseas, the film pulled in $307 million.
Who cares about the foreigners?
Beating out the highest grossing international movie, which was Pirates of the Caribbean at $260 million.
Taste it, Pirates. That hurts. I like the Pirates movie.
So I'm happy about it. Just making big bags of money.
Big bags of money.
I'm just so happy for this little woman who decided to write a book.
Oh,
well, it was so genius.
The story is so much more convoluted than that.
So what she deserves.
She does. Kudos. I honestly think she's getting so much. She's actually at this point getting what I deserve. And, and so that's my only issue. But yeah, she's immovable. She's an immovable force.
And well deserved.
And also, it broke the record for highest IMAX movie
IMAX.
Pulling in $23.5 million in IMAX alone.
It was great in IMAX.
Eat it, 2D movies.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah.
This might be enough to kickstart the economy on its own.
Yeah, she should donate a little money. She should, a couple of little stimulus package. A little Harry Potter stimulus.
Sent by Owl.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, the check. Owls are being released now. Don't need email. Send it by Owl.
There you go.
So, yeah, so that's actually all the news. We don't even have sad news this week.
That is kind of sad news, because now that she's so astronomically successful, she's hindered the rest of us becoming that successful.
That's all right.
That's I've decided to.
That's your argument.
I've decided the glass is half empty.
Rolling.
Taste it, Rolling. Wait, I'm the one tasting it.
So
and
yeah.
This water's stale.
So we are ready for our break. We'll be right back.
I want a break.
Break.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
Underdog, underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
In this world, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed. Who rob and steal from those who need to right this wrong with blinding speed. Goes underdog,
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 underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with
Hi, Mark.
Radio. This is Mark Torres. You almost was on Godwin.
I love the underdog thing.
Well, I don't have the Harry Potter theme, so.
Close enough. Yeah. When I think of underdog, the next person I think of is Harry Potter, right away.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I always, next thing you hear, just listen to all the vocals underneath it. That's actually quite a nicely done little piece.
Do you remember what he said? Which, when Miss Polly's in trouble, I am not slow.
So, it's hip, 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 and away I go.
There you go.
Yeah.
What did you want to say about the next thing to play?
I wanted Hong Kong Phooey.
Hong Kong Phooey?
Yeah. Number one super guy. I like that. I
like that he used to change in the cabinet.
Yes.
No one knew. That
Hong Kong Phooey. I mean, they deliberately did. I remember that. They deliberately did the theme like on a kazoo.
Yeah, I know. It was a little politically incorrect.
Never,
but
I will like to be the first to coin this phrase. Never underestimate the power of the kazoo.
Yeah, you're the first.
Yeah.
That phrase is yours.
I kind of knew I would be.
So this week.
Boy.
Oh no. I didn't do my homework.
I don't know what this discussion is going
to
be about.
It was something that was occurring to me as I was doing the news today at how upset I was that Warner Bros. Said that all 3D movies were sold out for the Harry Potter. It bothered me so much. It's like when the Twilight movie came out, we were sent an email to that the actors were gonna watch the movie with the fans of Twilight, but they didn't know where they were gonna be at. So we had to pretend to be fake people tweeting and saying, "Oh, we heard that they're gonna be over here. We heard that this is gonna happen." So it was really bothering me about the dishonesty of the marketing and promotion that's going on.
Wow,
dishonesty in business? No,
no, so, there's none of that stuff.
So I thought we can talk about how you get people into the theaters.
I think we can talk about that. I think we should talk about something else.
First of all, you need them to have cars. They have to get there. Cars and legs and walking stuff.
Transportation.
Yeah,
also,
transportation.
Could it have been possible that they like bought their tickets on Fandango and just never made the performance for whatever reason?
Sure. That's what happened.
I mean, when you say that there were some seats, I mean, how many seats are we talking here?
Let's see. Our theaters hold about 600 people, so we had about 300 seats available.
Really?
Yeah, it was not packed at all. That's what I'm saying. It was not even close to being sold out. All the important places.
That's like the Nielsen ratings. They have no idea what the entire country is watching. It's all percentages.
Watching one guy.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was a Nielsen's guy, and he's like, "My job is to get Who Wants to Be a Millionaire off." And he said he wanted another show to be put on. And that's exactly what he did. When he was a Nielsen family, that was when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire got canceled off the 7 on primetime ABC. And whatever show he liked went stayed on the air. So, yeah, he's a representative of 20 million people.
That's the point. There's your disingenuousness right there.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes from. This discussion's over.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. What do you got to do for FL?
People suck. That's the problem.
So the question I'm bringing to everybody here is that no matter how good a movie is or how bad a movie is, it's all about the marketing. It's all about getting people to the seats to see the movie. So what do you think would go into that?
To a certain point, yeah, you could get them into the seats to see the movie, but if the movie is terrible, not going to make a lot of money. They're going to see that movie that time and not come back.
But right, and they'll tell their friends not to
or
come.
Not, right, or tell their friends not
but,
to
But
come
let's
back.
Say, for example, is the Harry Potter, this movie. Let's say for some reason she decided to make the worst movie possible. She decides to go off book. She decides just to change everything she wants to because, you know, they're all going to show up. So important is the movie being?
She would have made $168 million or 43. What was the first night?
$43 million.
Right. So I think she wouldn't have did as well as 160, but she would have been comfortable. But that would have been it.
Well, it was the last one anyway, so,
it all ends.
I'm saying,
yes, it all
listen
ends.
To me, I'm saying that would have been it. I would have been very happy with that much money.
$43 million. No.
Yeah, we're talking about it like, hey, Hassan, what do you got on you? Hey, okay.
I should have brought my good hat.
I don't got $143 million.
Yeah.
I think it all balances out.
You think so?
Yep.
That if
yep.
it's a bad... So a bad marketing campaign can actually hurt a good movie.
I think it all balances out because of the jerks out there in the blogosphere who have nothing good to say about anything and tear everything down for whatever reasons, for their nitpicking and their hyper-extreme reasons in an attempt to sound like faux intellectuals. The prevailing notion of the day is that the only way to sound like an instant intellectual is to put something down. You know, if you were an intellectual and you were smart, you'd be able to intellectualize, in your aggrandized meant, whatever that, if that's a word, aggrandizing that's what I do.
He coined it.
It's mine. That belongs to me now. In your aggrandizing of something, you can also sound equally smart, but nobody knows how to do that because nobody understands vocabulary. People don't study superlatives. So basically what happens is you got these people who nip. I mean, I was reading some of the criticisms of this particular movie, and people didn't like the way some people died, and people didn't like, and you know, I've never liked Dumbledore. You know, these people, and they have this sense of that their opinion, that because they've written it down and they've given their opinion, that it's you know, it's canon now. It's sanctified now. Now that I have signed off on this, you know, this movie is officially good, with no justification for it, and no deeper insight into it other than I liked it or did not like it.
And then, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm done. Basically, if the marketing people counterbalance that or take those jerks into consideration and then cook up schemes in order to get them their butts in the seats anyway, I'm all for it.
All right.
And I think it balances out.
You're going to also have, which you're absolutely right, another balancing factor is the people that are true to the franchise, who love the franchise, and even if they heard the movie was they're going to see that movie.
Right.
They're going to wait the 6 days online to see that movie. They don't care what they say. This is their movie.
Plus, all that fanfare, all that stuff it excites them. It turns a simple. I mean, you're only going into a room to watch a television show on a really big screen for 2 hours. That's basically what you're doing. You're not even in the comfort of your own home, you're eating terrible food, and by that I mean it's not good for you. It's delicious, but it's not good for you. All right, and you're surrounded by farting, you know, smelly people who don't know how to keep their mouths shut while a movie's on. So, in any way that you can make that kind of that series,
enticing,
series of mishaps magical, then you know, it's all good.
Well, there's a lot of psychologists and sociologists who disagree with you that the fact that everyone's there, they're participating in a group experience in the dark where everything comes together, and it's almost like the situation where of the tribe sitting before the campfire and listening to the words of the tribal storyteller, especially when you have the overwhelming images on the screens above you. Incidentally, I might point out that these days, I believe, considered the first modernly marketed movie of the computer age was actually Blair Witch Project. And the way they started it off with all the buzz on the internet.
They thought that everybody was really dead. That's
right,
the craziest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they really thought that award, they showed up at, what was that?
The MTV Music Awards or something.
And I remember the shock and awe that got sucked out of that audience, like, they're alive. I'm like, what the hell
it's a movie.
You know?
No one's good. Well, you know, Tom, I absolutely agree with you, because I am a true believer in the sanctity of the theater, of going into the theater. I agree 100% of that experience is the magic in and of itself. The only place I would disagree with you is because I have in the past allowed all these farting chimps to ruin the experience for me. So it can. Come on. There's always a woman. They always sit right in front of you. The giant woman with her 40 kids and the big bag of goodies that, you know, that she brought from home with it. And they're all like generic. They're all like brand name chips, you know. You know, Joe's Chips and Monty's Soda. And I mean, it's got nothing to do with anything. And they always sit right in front of me and then decide to talk, you know, in their outside voice through the whole film. I have allowed this. I realize it's me. I have allowed this to ruin my experience. So anything that can make going to the movies magical, I'm all for it.
Speaking about magical, you have just painted the most vivid picture for me that I have ever seen, because I think I was in that theater once.
Yeah, I can picture that fat lady with a huge hat plopping down in front of you and passing out her kid these crinkling, snapping chips and gassy brand soda that turned them into a little methane factory.
It's
called gassy bread. It's called gassy soda.
In fact, they're wrapped in in little plastics that make crinkly noises and make more noises than the original wrap.
That's very true. How stinky a theater can be.
I've been to some pretty terrible ones where the entire place is you know there's a suspect odor coming from something.
Some kid improperly potty trained.
Exactly. I've been to some theaters where the experience is great. Like the theater's quiet. And anybody who goes to a movie with me, who has ever gone to a movie with me, knows the fact that I have this magical ability to attract these people. You know, they will, no matter how early or late you get to the movie theater, wherever you sit, they're going to sit in front of you or behind you. They never sit to the side for some reason. They're never to either side because they know I would be able to block them out mentally and be able to watch the stint. So they have to be in front or they have to be behind me. And they will come and they will literally ruin it. I will allow them. I concede that it is I that allows them to ruin the experience.
That's your superhero powers.
Yes. That's my kryptonite.
Right.
Douche lord attractant.
Huh? Yes. Yeah.
Lord attractant. I could understand that because you know what my powers are? In the supermarket, if there is 5,000 people on one aisle and one on the other, I go on the one, and there is a problem with that person who bought one item that lasts long enough to clear that other aisle out. I always go on the worst aisle at the so. I
amen, brother. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
So let me bring this back around.
What were we talking about?
Bring it back around, Mark.
People are being drawn in to go to the theater for whatever reason, you know.
They're
drawn in by the marketing campaign.
Oh,
and we just said some stuff you don't even need a marketing campaign. Then what's the point of going all overboard with everywhere you look? They don't have to be as aggressive with a campaign for Harry Potter because
it's subjective. The problem is it's subjective. It's subjective to you because sometimes it works and you like it, and sometimes it doesn't. Like sometimes you can see through it. Like there are ad campaigns that I'm like, that is so fantastic. I can't wait to see that. That's the greatest ad I've ever seen. And then there are some like say for Transformers, like oh god, here we go again with the stupid trailer with the you know the segmented visuals and loud noises and explosions. It's ridiculous. Why can't they just show us a movie? Why can't it just be straightforward? So it's subjective. It depends on the material
and how you
feel about the material.
A trailer in the theater, a couple of trailers on a movie, a couple of newspaper ads. That's all you really need. You don't need Harry Potter floating by your news mail while you're trying to find out what's going on in the world.
Well, it depends on the sort of movie. You're right with Harry Potter because it's an established franchise. But you take a standalone film and without any marketing or buzz, it's going no place. And the example I give was a few years ago, there was a movie called Baron Munchausen by one of the Harry Potter, one of the Monty Python gang. And it was if you ever had a chance to see it, it was a really great film. But it didn't go anyplace. Why didn't it go anyplace? It was the victim of studio politics. It was the last film okayed by some studio head who then got his rear end booted out of his job right after he literally signed the papers, and the new team coming in literally did not want it to succeed because that would have removed their justification for kicking the other guy out. So they deliberately hamstrung the campaign behind it, and as a result it flopped. Despite the fact it was a good film that did not deserve a flop. But, you know, because they deliberately didn't market it and did the absolute dead minimum they could get away with, it flopped.
I remember the trailer for that, and it was the first time I ever saw that it said, this movie's 100% true, we have the film to prove it.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. It's a fantastic movie.
Also, people could see if you know, in the science fiction genre, like we are, and I know people do the same thing I do, like if you're up at night or something and you see this movie and it happens to be a really, really good movie, and all of a sudden you look and you go, I never heard of this before.
Right.
And in our business, we've heard of a lot. I've never heard of this before. And this is a great movie. And it's the same.
No, no, he's not talking about that. Why? He's talking
Robo
about
Shark
other
versus Giant Octopus.
No.
He's talking about legitimate movies that you've never heard.
I've seen
a couple of movies with movie stars in it, you know, that came out 2010, came out 2009. Yeah. I'm like, where the heck did this movie come from?
Where was we? Yeah, where did Brad Pitt
have a chance to come up with a movie that flopped, that went straight to video? I mean, when actual A-list actors are going straight to video, something's up, you know? That happens a lot, actually, in recent times. It's been happening quite a lot.
It's, but on the flip side of that, I love it when these big promo people who make the big bucks, and they're so they got their minds so filled with what the people want, and
give these people air.
Yeah, exactly. And they go crazy, and their projects flop. I love that. And then all of a sudden you get a silent success, like as we were talking about Bridesmaids.
Right.
Yeah.
Who really didn't have a lot of promoing it other than it stood on its own because of the cast.
Right.
And that was a success.
It was one of the few times in recent times where I've actually been in the theater and I was laughing. And I was alone because I was at Sunrise.
Screening.
So I just popped in, you know, at the end of my shift, and it was fantastic. It was I literally laughed out loud. Except for the other movie, which is a fantastic movie, is Hot Tub Time Machine.
We did a review about that.
Yes, it's a great movie.
And
then everyone should see it.
Then a movie that I thought was going to be a smash and was being promoted left and right, and I thought it just was terrible. Was what is it? The Hangover.
Oh,
I saw The Hangover at a special screening, and I'm like, that was funny.
And the second one or the first one?
The first one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was funny. And then everybody started talking. I was like, it wasn't that funny.
I didn't even see it in the theater. I bought it. It was one of those points where I was, you know, I used to just pick up DVDs if I hear that it did well, because I didn't mind having it.
Well,
right.
And I didn't like it when I watched it.
The promo psychology behind it was, let's show all the best parts.
But a lot of
and then you're waiting for more better parts.
No,
and
there are none.
No.
But a lot of trailers do that. They show the best parts of the movie, and they also show the ending. If you pay close attention, 90% of the trailers out there actually have the ending in the trailer.
Yeah. They technically ruined Men in Black.
It was at the Super Bowl,
they showed the biggest money shot in the trailer.
Yeah, the spaceship coming.
Yeah,
out, right?
And that was when you go to see the film and you realize that's the biggest scene in the movie and you'd already seen it.
Yeah,
the whole movie's kind of a letdown.
But they wait till the end of the movie.
Yeah, the only way they work.
I used to have a game that I used to play when I was younger. I used to, because I watched a lot of my TV shows in the past, so I'm taping stuff now and then I watch it, you know, months from now. So I'm actually seeing stuff that hasn't come out yet. And I used to have a game when I used to watch the trailer. I was like, ooh, I wonder what part is the end of the movie. And 9 times out of 10, I was right. Like, I'm looking at it, like, oh, that's the end. Like, in the Transformers movie, there was a shot in the trailer where you see John Turturro in a wheelchair. I'm like, I bet that's the end of the movie. And it was. you just well, kind of know.
Every time your main character's in a wheelchair, the film's probably winding down.
But it's just a little game I like to try. So how important is that to put that in there? Like, do you need to have a lot of stuff in there?
My number one experience with that was RoboCop 2.
That thing's a killer.
I was looking forward to that film so much. That was the last film I think I can honestly say I was like, oh, that movie is just going to be the greatest movie ever made. And there's, you know, in the trailers, they got all these action scenes of him fighting RoboCop 2 or whatever. And that's that one scene where he jumps on the... And I was like, oh, RoboCop's going to kick so much butt in this one. He's just running around. He's jumping on top of things. He's ripping things open. He's all, you know... But they worked out the suit so Peter Weller could move around. And he doesn't look so stiff. That's going to be great. I watched the film. Peter Weller's still stiff. movie's terrible. I mean, it's right. Not a great movie. It's one of my least favorite movies. I still watch it, but I watch it because of how bad it is. It's nostalgically bad. And it turns out the scene that I thought was going to be that told me that the whole movie was going to be great is actually the money shot. The scene where he jumps on the end, robot's back is the big scene in the film. And it's a great, great, great sequence as just a piece of action. But as your pivotal moment in the film, it's horrible. It just didn't work, and oh my god, that movie was such a terrible letdown. Well, they didn't even use the RoboCop music. It was so infuriating.
Yeah, well,
I didn't have a theme song. How can you have a movie with the guys in RoboCop and not have the theme song?
Exactly.
It?
It's like, why would you change his theme song?
Anybody who loves a type of movie like we love science fiction and horror movies.
I love science fiction.
Anybody yeah. who likes that and is watching it as long as we do, it gets to the point where you know what's coming with anything. I used to watch Channel 41 in the old days when there was no cable,
right.
Channel 41 and Channel 47, which was totally Spanish, and they would have these 1970s foreign, either Mexican, Spain, Puerto Rico, horror movies on that I've never seen. And without the voice, I knew exactly the sequence. I knew it. I knew what was coming. I would say, he's it.
He's the guy. He's the bad guy.
But what I used to love, and I'm not making fun of anybody because I can't speak the language, but what I used to love, and this is what it sounded like to me, I used to love the announcer when they went because it would be such a fluent language and flying out of their mouth. But it never failed. The title was always in English. Horror of Frankenstein.
That's so true.
And it was always slow.
And it was always
frenetic.
They
stopped.
They're like, but I think that Horror of Frankenstein.
They brought in another guy.
They
brought in another guy to read the title.
In New Jersey.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Channel Crescente Uno, Patterson.
Yeah. Donde Ben Affleck.
it's the language. It's sequential language.
Yeah.
You know how to speak a sequential storytelling language,
yeah.
where you could see directors set up particular shots for some kind of payoff.
Right, yeah. right.
You know?
And you're used to seeing everything that you've seen.
Yeah, I've ruined a bunch of movies like that,
yeah.
where it's like someone's talking and they're walking, you know, in the middle of the street or something like that, and then they change the frame, and I go, "Oh, hit by car!" Just before the person gets hit, and then they get hit by a car, and everybody looks at me like, "Would you shut up?"
Yeah, well, I think what we're describing here is the language of movie making,
yeah.
and people who pay close attention to it, you know, it's like historians who pay special attention to the ebb and flow of history. They can, on a certain level, make predictions as to what's going to happen, judging by what happened before.
Right.
There's something in episode one, I remember.
Episode one of what?
Star Wars, sorry.
Ah.
Everybody remember episode one. That's what's just as well, episode one. During the marketing campaign, they went out of their way to show that Darth Maul had the double lightsaber.
Yep.
And I think that ruined a large part of my enjoyment for that movie, because if they had kept that a secret, and we're in the theater and we're like, oh my god, look at the double lightsaber. We all went crazy. But if you know what's coming, it's like, it's going to have a double lightsaber.
You're absolutely right. The problem with that is there would have been no way in modern age to be able to keep that a secret. That's A. B, it would have cost so much of screenshots that they could not have used for the trailers, for the promos.
Right, and the fighting.
Because the entire end battle is them fighting him. So they couldn't have used any of that footage. And so, as subdued and as slow and as dry as that movie is in and of itself, it might have been a little more exciting if you hadn't known that was coming, but you probably wouldn't have been in the theater because the trailers would have been so drab, you would have been like, oh, I'm not going to see that.
Well, I mean, like right now,
I hate Ewan McGregor.
You don't need, you do not need to have a bazillion trailers that Star Wars is coming on 3D. You don't need a bazillion trailers.
No.
You just need one guy going, you need George Lucas to walk out in the theater and go, Star Wars is going to be in 3D. It's going to be here at this time.
Yeah, everybody's going to show up. Theaters are packed.
Yeah,
right.
So we don't need a crazy market, which they're going to have. There's going to be asteroids flying, a Millennium Falcon going
up. Got to have it.
What's the point?
But this is
why?
Because I'm a fan, and I want to see that. I want you to momenticize the moment. I want it to be a great, fantastic moment for me. I want to look forward to it. I want to be thinking about it when I'm doing something else. Like, oh, did you see that trailer? It's so great. I'm going to go see it. It's going to be fantastic. I want that to happen. I don't want it to just kind of come out and someone's, hey, you're going to go see Star Wars in 3 days? Like, really? Is it out already? Yeah, it's down the block. Yeah, we're going to go. We're probably going to go after dinner. We're going to. And you get some McDonald's and then wander in there. You know, nobody wants that. You're like, oh, man, we're going to go. We're going to set this. We're getting out of work early. We're going to kick the doors in. We're going to go. We're going to watch this darn movie.
And you're going to McDonald's because they advertise them constantly.
Yeah, the biggest part of the promo is Colonel Sanders, you know, on a Dixie cup, you know, holding a lightsaber. Like, oh, look, I guess Star Wars is coming out.
I think the movie... And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking this is one where the promo people definitely earned their money, and I thought it was ingenious. There's nothing more I could say about it. Superman, Christopher Reeves, when they would just, no live video, they just showed sections of the emblem, and when the emblem was fully on the screen, they just said, you will believe a man could fly.
It's one of the greatest ad campaigns in history.
Oh my God!
So
genius.
Let me ask you something. What was the last movie that you decided to go see because of the trailer or because of the marketing campaign?
Oh, I know them. I know mine.
What's your?
No, let Charlie go for it.
It was actually it was a comedy, wasn't it? Old Dogs.
Old Dogs. All right, yeah, with Martin Lawrence and Tim Allen, right?
No,
with, that's nothing.
Robin Williams, John Travolta, and Seth Green. Is that the one I'm thinking about?
Yes, it was Wild Hogs. I was thinking.
Wild Hogs.
But it's the same creator, though. Yeah, same people. Okay. Yes,
And my God, what was it? Skyline. No, it wasn't Skyline.
Skyline.
No, but it seems that these days when I go in to see a superhero movie and they're doing promos, they always make that other one, like Captain America. That was pretty, you know. Yeah. The trailer is like a trailer reminds me of Indiana Jones trailer where they're showing all the freaking action, you know, and stuff
but
like
it's
that.
But still, they've done it in a way that still makes it interesting. You want to see how all those sequences fit together,
right?
What was yours? You said you had one.
This really stinks because of who made the movie.
Uh-oh.
Okay,
here we go.
One of the greatest trailers I have ever seen, and I have a couple of friends who agree with me. One of the greatest trailers I've ever seen for a movie was the trailer for Pearl Harbor.
I knew you. I didn't want to spoil it for you. Because you always bring that up.
It was a magnificent, magnificent, magnificent trailer. It's just the Japanese armada, flying majestically through the clouds. And then they do the voiceover of Roosevelt, you know, doing his famous
yesterday December 7th.
Yeah. And it was just gorgeous. And I didn't want to see the movie. I hate Michael Bay. I hated the whole thing. I was like, oh, this movie's gonna be terrible. It's just a ripoff of the Titanic that you're trying to capitalize on. And I saw the trailer. I was like, ooh, I have to go see that.
Really?
That and to be honest with you. The trailer for Superman Returns.
Really?
With Brandon Rolfe. Right. Mainly because they used John Williams' score.
The score, yes.
And the way the video, the trailer was put together with the music.
It's a bird.
It was so nostalgic for me because Superman is one of the first movies I saw when I was a kid. The music was so iconic to me that it absolutely attracted me to the film. The film was okay, but the trailer was 100 times better than the film.
What about you, Tom? What was the last movie that you can think of that the trailer made you want to go see the movie?
Well, actually, currently, Captain America.
Really?
Yeah. Simply because normally, when it comes to superhero movies, I can take him or leave him. When I saw this one, I saw that they were going back to his World War II roots and that they were going to be playing it that way and they were going to have the Howling Commandos in it, although I understand they don't actually name them. Then, I got to see this baby when it comes up. And it's coming up this weekend. If possible, I intend on seeing it.
For me, I really can't say. I can't think of any movie without being like the lowest common denominator that would want me to go see any trailer that makes me want to go see a movie. Because I work in the theater, I know it's coming. I was like, it's free, I'm here, I'll go see it.
That's a completely different thing.
But I don't think I've seen anything recently that I can be like, oh, I gotta see this.
I saw Thor, the trailers for Thor, and I thought that was, you know.
I went to my friend's house one time, and he said, you got to see this. I want to show you something. And I was all cynical and skeptical about, yeah, you're going to show me something, whatever. And he put on the trailer for 300. And that it's 6 months in advance. I had to wait 6 months to see that movie. Wow. And that trailer was so amazing as far as I was concerned. It was so something I had never seen before that I could do nothing but think about how good that movie was going
to
be.
A movie I ran to immediately when I saw the trailer was How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
No, I guess Sucker Punch, Matrix. I think Matrix would be my biggest one.
Yeah.
That Super Bowl commercial, I must see this movie.
That was
the last time.
That's a ripoff of Who is the Dark Man, though.
Yeah, but that's just something that pulled me in. So we got a minute left. Final thought, Charlie?
Yeah, just go see what you like. Don't listen to anybody and make your own mind up.
Hassan?
My final thought is I really, really hope this is not my final thought.
So I guess, Tom, final thought?
Yeah, I'm just going to quote you a quote from the theater version, not the movie version, but the theater version of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. The way it opens is the lead actor comes out on stage and says, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the temple. For the theater is a temple where we come to worship the gods of comedy and tragedy.
So that about does it for this week. It came from the radio joint.
Does it really do it?
Yes, it does. Okay.
Are we done? Are we really done?
About.
We can go home.
If you missed any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and listen to our archives, which should be up in a week or so. As always, the news items that we have are on our Facebook and Twitter feed, and we'll
Facebook
see you next week.
Go on Facebook, quick.
You have been listening to It Came from the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.